later this evening, so we pray that God would grant him safe travels back here to Lincoln. And also we're thankful to have Pastor Schmidt with us, serving us this morning. He'll be leading our worship service this morning, and he will be preaching for us as well. And you may, with the vacancy here, you may see more of Pastor Schmidt and more of the pastors that we do have here in our congregation. And also, it has, as of this Friday, has pleased our Lord to take to himself his servant, Marianne Getchell. Marianne Getchell, one of our shut-in members, she passed away this last Friday. Details about the date and time of her funeral service are still upcoming, and as soon as we get those, we'll announce those and get those all out to you. Just a couple notes on our worship service this morning. Our opening hymn is hymn number 709, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." Following that hymn, we will follow Divine Service, setting 3, found on page 184 and following in your hymnal. Notice that in our bulletin, we have the service printed out, and we have our bulletin insert. Intro, it's on one side, propers, and the readings are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. But before we open our service, let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you for giving us the gift of your word. Your word, which is our comfort in our affliction. Your word, which is our comfort because you sent to us your word made flesh. Your Son, Jesus Christ, who was afflicted for us on the cross to forgive us all of our sins. Lord, may you ever remind us of his affliction, his suffering, his dying for us to forgive us all of our sins. May that be our focus this day as we worship. We pray this in the name and for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hymn 709.
We'll follow the order of divine service. Three, please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, declare the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I grant you remission of all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue by chanting together the introit printed on the insert for your bulletin. This is the seventh Sunday after Trinity. We chant this together.
God on high.
And on earth peace.
Pray. O God, whose never-failing providence orders all things, both in heaven and earth, we humbly implore you to put away from us all hurtful things and to give us those things that are profitable for us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the seventh Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 2. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is Pishon, and it is the one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual for this day. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. The epistle is from Romans, chapter 6. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from far away. And his disciples answered him, How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? And he asked them, How many loaves do you have? They said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people. And he sent them away. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee.
Now confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Christian, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sing now our hymn of the day. Sing praise to God, the highest good, hymn 819. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Grace and peace be with you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Our theme today is Remember the Word. The text is from Psalm 119. If you wish to follow it, I think it's printed in the bulletin, at least the version that's in the hymnal. I'm sorry, but my translation is a little bit different from that. And I will explain some of those things as we go on with this. Psalm 119 is the longest of all the Psalms. It's divided into 22 different parts because there's 22 different letters in the alphabet in Hebrew. And today's the seventh Sunday after Trinity, so the seventh part is the one that we'll look at today. It's the letter Zion. It's in the front of the hymnal if you want to look at it there. It says Zion. It's what we would call a Z. Their alphabet is arranged a little bit different from ours. But the unique thing about it is that every one of the verses starts with the letter Zion. Every one of the words starts with that. Well, a word that stands out in Hebrew with that letter is the word for remember. And so this gives us a little bit of a focus. It shows up three times in this portion of the psalm, and we'll divide the psalm into three different parts. Should say also, and you may know this already, Hebrew poetry is not like our poetry. I remember struggling in grade school trying to come up with a line that had so many beats per line, and then it ended with a certain syllable, and then you tried to rhyme that. Well, they don't worry about that. What they do is they repeat ideas, or they expand on ideas, or contrast ideas. And you'll see that in the psalm. From Psalm 119, beginning at verse 49. Remember your word to your servant, upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. Your promise has given me life. The proudly rebellious scorn me greatly, but from your teaching I have not turned aside. I have remembered your ancient judgments, O Lord, and so I have comforted myself. Burning indignation has gripped me because of the wicked. They are the ones forsaking your teaching. Your statutes have become my song in the house of my lifelong pilgrimage. In the nighttime I have remembered your name, O Lord, and I have kept your teaching. This has occurred to my benefit. I have faithfully kept your decrees. And so in the first portion of this, the first two verses, remember your word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. Your promise has given me life. We usually think of the idea of remembering as, I can't remember where I left my keys. Some sort of mental process. And that's about as far as we take it. But this word remember has much more to it. It especially, in the Old Testament, you see this all over the place. It's not only remembering, but it's acting based on what is remembered. It is doing something based on something that has been said in the past. And then there is also the added idea of confessing something, of saying not only internally, I remember this, but like we did with the creed, confessing what it is that we believe. Well, in this world, with all of its turmoil and it's having lost its head, it's having wanting nothing to do with its head, our Lord Jesus, in this kind of a world, we can find ourselves expressing ourselves a little bit like the psalm writers do sometimes. Do we really need to tell God to remember His word? No, God remembers His word to us. Remember, His word came to us already in our baptism. That was the basis for our being brought into the faith. God and His word give us hope in a future, even though we're in a world that doesn't seem to ever support that idea. We may even begin to doubt at times if God the Lord will remember His promises to us. And so we may find ourselves expressing ourselves in the same way that the psalm writers do sometimes. They, after all, were human, also just like us. Like children afraid that our parents might not come back home, we can be afraid that God has forgotten about us. And so we express that. There's nothing wrong with expressing that. There's nothing wrong with it at all. God wants us to pray to Him and wants us to come before Him with the things that trouble us. And so our fear about God forgetting about us and that we've been left with whatever rotten situation we're in can seem to overwhelm us. But He wants us to remember that He remembers us. He's not forgotten about us. After all, He was the one who took the initiative to call us in holy baptism to be His. He's made us His children. He promises us life and hope. And so when we ask God to remember, it's not that He's forgotten anything. Rather, it's the idea that He is the one who has always remembered His promises. You can go back to Genesis 9. There you have Noah and his family in the ark. Moses tells us God remembered Noah. It isn't because God forgot about them, but now God was going to act. And God acted by then letting all the waters recede, and the ark landed on Mount Ararat, and eventually then Noah was able to come out. Again, you read in the book of Deuteronomy that God remembered His promises to Abraham, to all of His children, to all of the people that He's made promises to over the years, and He acts. He acted by bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. He acted by leading them through the wilderness. He acted by then leading them into the promised land. Then there's a very legitimate remembering and forgetting that we need to keep in mind. It comes up in Psalm 25. Remember, O Lord, Your tender mercies and Your loving kindnesses, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. According to Your mercy, remember me for Your goodness' sake, O Lord. God acts for my salvation. He doesn't leave me hanging. Instead, He lets His Son hang on a cross. He pours out His wrath upon His Son, who's bearing my sin. And because of that, He calls me to life. He says that my sin is taken away and that what has been done in His own Son has now made it right between me and Him. And so there in Jesus, that's where God remembers in His greatest act of remembering. He remembers us by pouring out His wrath upon His Son. And now He comes to us with His word and sacrament. And He bids us to remember what He's done for Him, what He's done for us through His own Son. Anything less would fail to deal with sin and death. We shouldn't be surprised that the world around us does not give us any comfort like this. Psalm writer goes on and says, "The proudly rebellious scorn me greatly, but from Your teaching I have not turned aside. I have remembered Your ancient judgments, O Lord, and so I have comforted myself. Burning indignation has gripped me because of the wicked. They are the ones forsaking Your teaching." Some people seem to make it their special mission in life to mock God and to turn away from any talk of His love and forgiveness. They don't approve of the way He loves or His forms of forgiving. It doesn't meet their standards and what they expect of God, and so they're upset with Him and they want nothing to do with Him. But the child of God remembers that we are only pilgrims passing through this world. We may have lived in the same house for our whole lifetime, but this is still not our home. We're passing through this world and we're looking with hope to the promised beauties of heaven, to the perfect fellowship that we will have with our Heavenly Father, all for the sake of Jesus our Lord. And by His Spirit, then, we remember what God has done for us, that He's poured out His wrath upon His Son, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that this is the greatest of the ancient judgments that we can remember as we go through this psalm, not only in this day and age, but with all of the faithful who have heard this psalm and used it down through the ages. God tells us about this judgment when He points us to the Gospels and the account of what Jesus has done for us. He wants us to see that in His Son, that's where He's reconciled us to Him. That's where he's brought us back into his fellowship. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, he who knew no sin made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Father sent his Son to take up our sinfulness and thereby to be punished for us, so that we would be given the righteousness of God, the innocence and the forgiveness that God has for us. And so we look forward to our Lord's return on the last day, when he will gather us up and usher us into the heavenly mansions. In the meantime, he tells us that we can believe him, that we can remember his promises, that he will preserve us in the faith as he preserves his word and his teaching among us. That's where the word that in your translation in front of you would say law, really, it's not a very good translation. And why so many translations take it that way, I really find troubling. It's the idea of God's revelation. It's the idea of God's teaching. The basic word there should appeal to teachers. It's like what teachers would like to do. It's if somebody's shooting an arrow, and that teacher would like to shoot an arrow right into the pupil with all this knowledge and get it across. And it's this teaching, this revelation, this instruction that God presents to us in his word. It is law and gospel. It is both of those. Because those in the Old Testament are saved in the same way that we of the New Testament are saved, namely looking forward to the promises of God and their fulfillment in the way God would bring it about. Finally, in the last section, verse 54 and following, the psalm writer goes on and says, "Your statutes have become my song in the house of my lifelong pilgrimage. In the nighttime I have remembered your name, O Lord, and I have kept your teaching. This has occurred for my benefit. I have faithfully held to your decrees." As we continue having contact with God's word and sacrament, God's Spirit continues to help us grow in understanding and appreciation of what God has done for us in his Son. And so in this text, we're given something that we don't always think about. It says statutes. Statutes sound so legalistic and defined into a certain area. Well, that's not a bad way of thinking about it. This word statutes means something that's been chiseled into stone. We usually think of the Ten Commandments on the two tablets of stone. But there's more than that. After all, what does Job say in Job 19? We hear it every Easter. We hear it at so many funerals. "Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book." It's the very same word family there. Job wants us to believe as he believes, trusting in the promises of God. He says, "Oh, that they were engraved on a rock with an iron pen and lead forever." An iron pen would be the chisel. Lead would be molten lead poured into what is chiseled out so that it stands out more, so that it seems more permanent. After all, in the ancient world, this was what great leaders tried to do sometimes to proclaim their own glory. Well, Job says, "I've got something more glorious to preserve, and that's that I know that my Redeemer lives." There's our hope and our comfort. "I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is struck off, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. How my heart yearns within me." There's Job telling us that there is something inscribed in stone that we need to keep in mind. And so this becomes our song. After all, we have the hymn, "I Know That My Redeemer Lives," and everything else that reflects that same attitude of a faithful hope. Here's the hope and the comfort that as we dwell in this home, namely our feeble bodies, our bodies that wear out, our bodies that break down, our bodies that fail, our bodies that cause us so much concern. And then probably something that some of you have thought about. What about dementia and Alzheimer's? Things that bother the way people remember. it doesn't wipe out those memories. What it does is it wipes out the ability to connect how those memories exist in our mind with what's going on around us now. In other words, what if I can't remember exactly the words to the creed? What if I can't remember exactly the date of my baptism or my confirmation verse? Well, we who are fellow believers are encouraged to remind our family members of what it is that our Lord has done for us. That we take it to heart that He's placed us in a situation where now we can help someone, mother, father, grandparent, whomever, to remember their Lord and Savior, to recall that, yes, I am a baptized child of God, that God has acted for my benefit in such a way that the world and Satan cannot take it away from me. Even as my body and my mind deteriorate, that's not the end of my faith. And so, as we live in this, as the psalm writer calls it, this house of my lifelong pilgrimage, we are encouraged to understand the fact that we have a Savior who knows what's wrong. We have a Savior who knows what's going on in our life or the life of some loved one, and that we don't despair, but instead continue to trust that He knows what is best and will preserve us to the end. This also points at something rather interesting. I didn't realize this until doing more research on these verses. One of the words for male and man in the Old Testament is related to this word of remembering. And it's this idea of publicly confessing what it is that we believe, which immediately made me think of what Luther says at the beginning of each of the sections in the Catechism, as the head of the family should teach in a diligent way to the members of his household. So the head of each household is charged with this idea of help your family to know what it is that God has done for them, to remember this, to keep this in mind. After all, this is why we memorize things, so that we keep these things in mind, because this is what the Holy Spirit uses to remind us of what it is that God has done. Jesus reinforces this by saying in John 14, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Finally, in the last verse, it says, "This has occurred for my benefit, that I have faithfully kept your decrees." These decrees are like a prescription. Sometimes the word precept is used. This idea of a prescription is something that God wants us something our doctor wants us. We think of doctors sometimes as God. This is something that our doctor wants us to use because it's for our benefit. It's something that he uses to try to help us improve our health and our life. Well, God's word stands in that same respect, that it's a source of hope and comfort, that it is a way of commending ourselves to God, who is our good shepherd, and always remembering that when Jesus spoke in Luke chapter 11, he made the point, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." So finally, I want to conclude with the last verse of this whole psalm, Psalm 119, verse 176. "I wander like a lost sheep who has no home. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commands." The Lord God does not forget us. He remembers us and calls us continually to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. May our Heavenly Father preserve us in this faith now and forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We will stand and continue with the offertory.
Thank you.
be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who always remembers us, who remembered us on the cross. At this time, we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pad and pens are at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're with us. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence this day in worship. Special word of welcome to all those who are worshiping with us on the radio or internet. We pray the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus, who remembers us, will be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
Please stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Remember, O Lord, your promise to be a rock of refuge for your baptized children. Be gracious to us, create in us humble and contrite hearts, that we might always cry out to you for mercy. Fill us with your love, grant us renewal by your Holy Spirit, that we may always abide in Jesus Christ, our Savior, beholding his glory and his word and sacraments, and being made well by the same. Lord, in your mercy. Remember, O Lord, your promise to send workers into your vineyard. Bless Pastor Moline as he considers our call to serve here, and bless Pastor Mirandi in his move to Indiana. Remember also those whom you have already sent. Make your face shine on them, that through their faithful service, the eyes of those blind to your mercies may be opened and see the salvation that they have in Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Remember, O Lord, our nation and its leaders. Guide them in the direction you would have them go, that peace and prosperity, truth and justice, religion and piety may dwell in our land. Remember also those who serve in our armed forces, that they would serve with integrity and honor. Lord, in your mercy. Remember, O Lord, the elderly and shut-in. Provide them with compassion and loving caregivers, and bless the nursing homes throughout our land. Send pastors to bring them Christ through his holy word and sacraments. Lord, in your mercy. Remember, Lord, those who are sick, hospitalized, in treatment, undergoing surgery or recovering, and all who are in need, especially remembering at this time Jeanette Stalick, who is in hospice care. And we pray that Christ would come quickly for her, comfort her and her family, and all of those whose friends and relatives are hospitalized or are sick. Comfort them with your presence, sustain their faith through your gracious promises, and bring healing to them as you will and know to be best. Lord, in your mercy. Remember, O Lord, the family and friends of Marianne Getchell. We thank you for having brought her to the faith and the knowledge of her Savior. Comfort the survivors with the blessed hope of a joyful reunion at the resurrection to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Remember those, Lord, who come to this holy altar this day to receive the medicine of immortality in your holy supper. Fill all who partake of your Son's very body and blood with his life and love, that they may depart in his peace, which surpasses all understanding. Lord, in your mercy. Remember, Lord, your promise to fill the wedding banquet of your Son and his bride, the Church, with guests clad in white robes. For those who have gone before us and now rest from their labors, we give you thanks and praise. Bring us with them to the day of our Lord's glorious return, that we may all receive the eternal inheritance you have prepared for us. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right and so true.
It is truly good, right, and for our healing that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Together we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup when he had eaten, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is poured out for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is given unto death for all of your sins. Take and drink. True blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is poured out for the remission of all your sins. This true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and the life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen.
Christ shed for you. I mean, it's fine.
This true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Please stand for the Nec Divinis. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this healing gift, and we ask you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you, in fervent love toward one another, in patience under trials, and in the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace.
Amen.
We will sing our concluding hymn, number 774. You may be seated.
Again, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's glad to have you all here with us to worship this morning. Check out the news and notes for the upcoming events in the days and weeks ahead. As we announced at the beginning of the service, Pastor Poppy is on vacation visiting family in Illinois. He will be back this evening, so we pray safe travels for him and his wife. And we want to thank Pastor Schmidt for serving us today, for bringing us the true word of God, God who remembers us. Again, Adam, our congregation, the congregation here, Good Shepherd, has called Adam Moline. No new news there. Kind of a month of goodbyes. My farewell will not be this coming Sunday, but the Sunday after here in about 2 weeks. It's been fast, and I've been thankful to God for my time amongst you all, and wish to make the most out of these next 2 weeks. Also, we have here with us today, though, our new vicar, AJ. Would you please stand for everyone? So he's not quite as tall as Pastor Murundi, but he's pretty close. So, it's good to have him here and welcome you. And if you can, go out your way and meet him and introduce yourself. He'll be shadowing me for these next 2 weeks, so that'll be fun. Worship on Wednesday, Life Light on Thursday. Join us for coffees and goodies right after the service. Pastor Schmidt, you'll be leading us in Bible study and in the fellowship hall right after. Is there anything else I'm missing? Anything else that needs announced? Have a great day then, and a great day and week in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.